Take your Bibles and turn this morning to the book of Romans. I love the book of Romans. The book of Romans is filled with so much information about us being saved, about the Christian life. The book of Romans, the basic theme is that you're only justified and made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The only way you can be redeemed, the only way you can be saved, the only way you can be righteous in the sight of God is by putting faith in Jesus Christ. That's the theme. That's the theme throughout the book of Romans. But it's a powerful book. It tells us a lot about the Christian walk and the Christian way of life. It tells us about Christian placement, that you have to be placed in Jesus Christ. It talks about the Christian privilege, what a privilege it is to be a Christian and to be saved and be a son of God and a child of God. It also tells us about the Christian practice, how we should live once we are saved, once the Spirit of God is in us and we are His. Then there's a way of life that we are expected to live. The Holy Ghost helps us live the Christian life. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from His redemption, apart from His atonement, apart from His sacrifice, there is no salvation.
Amen.
One of my favorite messages preached from the book of Romans, the preacher was Brother Jones. It was years ago. I was a young minister, and I used to tape sermons and listen to sermons and visit revivals, and I wanted to hear good messages, and this guy kept us spellbound in the early part of the book of Romans about, he just went through verse by verse and showed that in the beginning, the very first chapter, that God had revealed that all are sinners, that the Gentiles were sinners. And then he moved on to the second chapter and the third chapter, and how that he showed that the Jews were sinners and that the whole world was lost and the whole world had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we were all condemned and we were all depraved and we're all on our way to hell. And then he read this first verse of the eighth chapter of the book of Romans. I remember the sermon kept building and mounting about how depraved we are and how wicked we are and how unrighteous we are and how we deserve to be condemned and we deserve to go to hell and how that we had transgressed the law of God and we had broken God's holy law and that we were under the judgment of God and under the wrath of God. And then he read this verse. Verse 1 of Chapter 8, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Wow. No condemnation. No condemnation. Right now, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's the place you need to be. You need to be in Christ Jesus. He goes on and tells us in this first verse of chapter 8, he said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to read several verses. I know that scares some of you because I can preach probably a month on one verse. So I'm going to at least read 11 verses because I'd studied 11 verses. I probably won't preach from all 11 verses, but I want us to grasp not only our place in Christ Jesus, but the glorious privilege it is to be saved. To know that you're on your way to heaven, that there's no condemnation. No condemnation. You will not be condemned to a devil's hell because you are in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know a lot about things, but I know this one thing about me. I don't know about what tomorrow holds with respect to my health and with respect to my wealth. But I do know that I am in Christ Jesus, and being in Christ Jesus, I'm safe. It's the only safe place to be. I'm in Christ. And those that are in Christ Jesus, they are safe. They're in a safe place. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not talking about a future thing. It's talking about a present thing. Right now. Right now, I'm in Christ. And I want us to examine that place. Being in that place. What a privilege. So it's not only the Christian place, but the Christian privilege. The privilege of being in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to spend time talking just a little bit, and I probably won't have a lot of time, but there's a practice, the Christian practice. Those that are in Christ Jesus have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And there's spiritual discernment, there's a spiritual thinking, there's a spiritual way of life, there's a spiritual walk that he starts talking about. We're in the Spirit. When Christ is in you, the Lord's Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost is not only in us, but it helps us. It enables us. I'm talking about the power and the work of the Holy Ghost that enables us to walk the walk and talk the talk. We have a lot of people today. One of the reasons they can't walk the walk and talk the talk is there's no Holy Ghost in them. But if you're in Jesus, there will be a way of walk. You'll walk in the Spirit. Not after the flesh. Now there's a contrast in these passages as I continue to read. A contrast between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. There's a contrast between the appetites of the flesh and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost that enables us to live a righteous life. I probably won't be able to get to it. But as we read these verses, notice that once the Holy Ghost is in you, once you're in Christ Jesus, then you accomplish something. There's a practice. What is that practice? He tells us that we keep the law of God. We keep the law of God. I mean, it becomes a natural thing for us to keep the law of God. See, when the Holy Ghost comes in you, when you get saved, when you are in Christ Jesus, it's easier to live for God than to live against God. I mean, it's easier to keep the law of God than it is to break the law of God. One of the best illustrations of that I ever heard was a guy told me one time that it's easier to breathe than it is to hold his breath. You know, and that's how it is with obeying God and listening to God and keeping the laws of God once God has come in you. I mean, the Bible says that when you get saved, that He writes His laws on your heart. I mean, that's the new covenant. God putting His laws in our hearts. And from the inside, it becomes a natural thing, an automatic thing. It's not something that we are under with respect to some kind of a forceful obligation. The law of God becomes a natural instinct for us. We want to please God. People that are in Christ Jesus, they have a desire to please God. They want to walk in the ways of God. They want to keep God's commandments. Comes a natural way of life for us. You know, you can know whether or not you're saved. And it's more than just a time and a place. I mean, when the Holy Ghost comes in you, there's a new life that comes in you that wasn't in you before. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, things change when you're in Christ. Paul said that, he said, those that are in Christ Jesus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, what did he say? If anybody is really in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, I better read these verses. I'm going to get stuck on in Christ and won't be able to get through with this. But he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made free from the law of sin and death. Let me pause just for a moment and say in verse 2, he's talking about the law of the Spirit. That's the gospel. You have to obey the gospel. When you hear the gospel message, you need to respond to it. We have obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart when we believed, haven't we? The God has commanded all men everywhere to what? To repent. You need to obey those obligations and responsibilities of the gospel. The law of the Spirit is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to you and you hear the command to repent of your sins, when you hear the command to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you hear the command to pray and seek His face that you might experience forgiveness, you need to obey that. You need to respond to that. That's the law of the Spirit. The Bible says those that do not repent, they will perish. Amen? You're under the command to repent. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. It's the command of the gospel. We don't hear enough preaching on repentance, do we? We don't. God has commanded you to repent. God has commanded you to put faith in His only begotten Son of God, who hung on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He has commanded that you put faith in Him that you might have life and have everlasting life through turning to Him and surrendering to Him and putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be right in the sight of God unless you put faith in Jesus Christ. And when that happens to you, you are set free from the law of sin and death. I don't have time to get into that. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll fulfill the law of God. Right? That's what He says. And He sent His Son to die on a cross to make a supreme sacrifice, to eliminate the consequences and the condemnation of transgressing His law, to take us out from underneath the condemnation of the law, because we've already transgressed the law. We're already under condemnation. We've already broken God's holy law. We're already sinners, right? So He has caused an amazing shift where that we could be made righteous before God through the righteous living of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, when He hung on the cross of Calvary, He bore our transgressions. He took our place. My sins, my wrongs, the judgment and the wrath, the penalty for my transgressions was shifted off of me and placed on Jesus Christ when He hung on the cross. Amen? Listen, I know that happened for me. I know that He bore my sins on the cross, on the tree. Yes, know that. That's what He's talking about here. But not only that, that righteousness. Listen, Jesus never sinned. He knew no sin. He never committed any transgression. He was holy. He was righteous. He lived a perfect life. He was a perfect man. That's what made His sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God. It was a righteous, He was an unblemished lamb. That's why He is referred to by John the Baptist as, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He lived His life. He showed Himself perfect, just like that little lamb I was put in that fence, and it was tested and was put through an examination to make sure it was without spot and without blemish. Jesus lived His life, and He was holy. He was without spot, and He was without blemish. And then He went to the cross of Calvary, and He bore our sins, and something else happened. There was a shift that took place. Not only did my sins end up on Jesus, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ ended up on me. Wow. wow. And now, if you see any righteousness in Tim, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes in us. The law of God is written on our hearts. And we are motivated by the presence of the Holy Ghost to keep God's divine law. You know, prior to being saved, you really didn't care that much, did you? You know, there really wasn't that commitment to keeping God's law. But I believe when people get saved, they want to keep the law of God. They want to please God. They want to serve God. They want to do His will. They read His Word with great enthusiasm and great zeal, wanting to apply the principles of God's holy Word to their lives. And so He tells us how that the righteousness of the law, how that it might be fulfilled in us when we walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. And He says, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death. How to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Now listen, you have life and peace now. Those that are in Christ Jesus, they have life and peace now. Those that are out of Christ, they have death. Death! Now we know those of us that are saved, these bodies, they're not redeemed. They're going to the grave, aren't they? They're unredeemable. Now I realize we're going to be raised at the last day and receive a new body. But as far as we live this life, the flesh, it can't be redeemed. No, it can't be pleasing God. That's why it has to be crucified. Amen? We crucify the flesh. We mortify the flesh. We kill the flesh. Why? Because the flesh, it can't be fixed. It has to die. The wages of sin is death. And the flesh will die. It will go down to the grave. It will be destroyed. But praise God, the soul lives on. And the soul, the inner man, can be redeemed. Today, you need to be redeemed on the inside. Amen? And that's where it all starts. It all starts. Now we, after we get saved, we still have the flesh very much with us, don't we? We sure do. In the previous chapter, and I don't have time to get in, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but in the previous chapter, Paul went through that whole thing, didn't he? He said, with a heart and with the spirit and with a soul, I delight to do the law of God after the inward man. The inside of me, I want to please God. I want to serve God. But the outside of me, the fleshly side of me, the carnal side of me is constantly warring against that. And you're going to be fighting that war, Christian friend, till you die. Amen. Amen? You will be. If you win the battle, then you'll become a perfect person. And that's just not going to happen. There's only been one perfect person, and that's Jesus. But there's a warfare. And He said, those things I want to do, my carnal flesh fights against it. He says there's a war going on with the outer man and the inner man. And the inner man needs to win the battle. Amen? And when the inner man wins the battle, then we are walking in the Spirit. And when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are minding the things of the Spirit, there's two things that He mentions in these 11 verses, minding the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. There's a behavior, a way of conduct. There's a way of thinking and an attitude. There are things that control our lives that enable us to do the will of God. And if we will keep those things where they need to be, in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual sphere, if you will, then we will fulfill those things that God has in mind for us. All right. So let's notice, in the carnal mind, it's dead. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. We've got spiritual life and peace now because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It can't be subject to the law of God, neither it can be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. You know, we've got religions in the world, and a lot of them are fleshly religions. They attempt to try to accommodate or to please God, or they try to do the work of God in the flesh. They have a fleshly, carnal salvation, many of them. They do something bodily. There's some kind of physical work to get saved. I mean, that's their doctrine. That's their teaching. Some of them teach that you have to be baptized in order to be a Christian. Some of them teach you've got to take the Lord's Supper in order to be a Christian. Some of them teach you've got to live a good life in order to be a Christian. Some of them teach that you've got to attend church to be a Christian. Some of them teach you've got to tithe to be a Christian. Listen, it's not of works. And it's especially not of the flesh. The flesh cannot even please God in any way. There's something that has to happen to you on the inside. There has to be a new birth, amen? You have to be born again by the Spirit of God. There has to be something that touches you where only God can touch you. The inner part of you has to be awakened, born from above. Huh? Has to take on a new nature. Yeah. Do you remember when that happens? You remember that happened in your life? You sure do remember when that happens. It's such a transition and a shift, a transformation. I mean, even forensically, transformingly, it transforms you from darkness into light. It's like light goes off on the inside. Amen? You move from a state of death to a state of life. And you know when that happens. Let me read on. He says, but it doesn't happen to you bodily. If you've gone through some kind of systematic, ritualistic process to please God, you are deceived. It's not by some ritual that you get saved. It's a spiritual thing. Repentance is spiritual. Faith is a spiritual work. Regeneration has to be spiritual because regeneration is God's Holy Spirit coming in direct contact with your spirit. And Paul said, we're not saved by any works of righteousness which we have done in Titus chapter 3. How are we saved, Paul? We're saved by the washing of regeneration. And over and over, just pick up your Bible and read it. Over and over again, Paul said it's not of works. Not of works. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast. Not of works. If it's of works, then it can't be of grace, Paul said. We are saved by grace. It is an unmerited and undeserved favor of God. The flesh can't please God. Now we have fleshly pleasantries. There are certain things that we enjoy in the flesh. And we sometimes get the flesh involved in religion. Come on now. And if we start doing that, then we become a fleshly religion. And Paul says the flesh can never please God. We need to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll please God. All right, let me move on. You can't please God in the flesh. You can't get saved in the flesh, right? You can't worship in the flesh. You've got to worship in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You know, Paul starts saying, look, if you're having trouble walking in the Spirit, maybe the Spirit of the Lord's not really in you. We need from time to time to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, right? We need to examine ourselves to see if we need to make our calling and election sure, right? Yeah. Does the Spirit of Christ really dwell in you? He says, if any man, any person, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, there must be some kind of manifestation of the righteousness of God or the walk of God and the mind of God in a person's life, or the Spirit of Christ is just not in that person. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. I mentioned 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul was talking about this glorious experience of being caught up into the third heaven, he said, I knew a man once in Christ. In Christ. Referring to him being in Christ. He often referred to himself being in Christ. And saved people being in Christ. When he wrote to the people at Ephesus, he said, look, he said, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. All the blessings of God are found in Christ. You have to be in Christ. He went on and told us that according as He hath chosen us, He chose us in Him. Look, you're either in Jesus or you're out of Jesus. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. He chose those that go to heaven. They must be in Jesus. All the blessings are in Jesus. He chose His people, and that's part of this choice that He makes. He is choosing out a people for His name's sake, amen? A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Those people are in Jesus. He went on and told us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, that we would be to the praise of His glory. Verse 7, in whom we, in who? In Christ. What do we have? We have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the riches of His grace. How you move on and we talk in verse 8. We have all the wisdom and prudence that we stand in need of. How we've known the mystery of His will. We know how to walk according to His good pleasure. How we know how to do those things that He's called upon us to do. And which is He had done according to the purpose of Himself. He says that in the dispensations of the fullness of time, He would gather together in one all things in what? What does it say in verse 10? That all things would be gathered in Christ. In Christ. Gathered in Christ. Well, we could go on through this chapter. I'm not going to take the time. But he constantly talks about us being in Christ. This was predestined. This was what God had foreordained. That the saved would be in Christ. Listen, if you're not in Christ Jesus, then you're on your way to hell. And you need to be saved. Amen. Many of the introductions, well, like in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. He was writing to the church at Philippi. And he says to the saints in Christ with the bishops and the deacons. I know you guys don't like to refer to me as a bishop. But I mean the pastors and the deacons. But he was talking to all the saints in Christ. He did the same thing when he was writing an introduction to the church at Corinth. To the saints in Christ. Saints in Christ. Have you ever read in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, not only do we have an introduction, also a benediction, where he began to talk about in the 16th chapter, there in the 16th chapter, verse 7, he says, salute Andreas and Juna, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. In other words, these guys were well known among the apostles. They had been in prison for the gospel's sake, who also were in Christ before me. In Christ before me. Wait a minute, preacher. I thought you said we were predestined in Christ. No, we were predestined to His pleasure and His glory and His praise. Those that are found in Christ. But Paul said, we're not all putting Christ at once. In other words, Paul said, these folks were saved before me. They were put in Christ before me. Amen. Look, there has to be a time and place where you put in Christ. Amen. They were put in Christ before I was put in Christ. They were saved before me. But the point is this, and he goes on and he talks about other people who are in Christ. He says, salute these folks. These folks are in Christ. You go all the way down through verse 11 of the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, from 7 to 11. He says, and greet Amphilus, my beloved, in the Lord. In the Lord. He's in Christ. He's in the Lord. And he says, and salute Urban, our helper in Christ. And he just goes on and on and on talking about these folks, these other folks at church, these people that were saved and laboring for the cause of Christ. They were in Christ. Some of them were placed in at a different time than others. And I believe that's the way it works. But only those, it has been predestined before the foundation of the world, that only those that are found in Christ Jesus go to heaven. Out of Christ, you go to hell. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, we are put in Christ by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, and it's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're in Christ because of His righteousness. But we obtain that righteousness by faith. That's how we get in Christ. He's either today, and I'm going to close. I didn't get very far. I'm glad that right now, I can honestly say that I know that I'm in Christ. And when you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. No condemnation. Right now, I'm in Christ. Right now, there's no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus bore the condemnation for me. He took my place. He is a substitutionary atonement. And I'm not only in Him, but He is in me. I'm in Christ. I guess my question is, as clear as the Scriptures teach, you're either under condemnation or you're not condemned. The Bible, Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You know, you can move from being condemned to being justified by getting up out of your seat today and moving toward the Lord. Right. Are you telling me the thing that stands between me and justification, from moving from a state of being condemned to being made righteous, is about 15 or 20 feet? That's what I'm telling you this morning. Right now, some of you are under the condemnation of your sins. But you can change that today by trusting in the Lord Jesus. Get a song, Aaron. Do you believe somebody could be saved today? Do you believe what Paul said, that now is the acceptable time? Now is the day of salvation? We talk about Jesus being the Savior. We talk about at Christmas time, He was born, and the angels announced that. They proclaimed that. He was born to be the Savior to deliver His people from their sins. You can be delivered today. You have to be delivered from your sins by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the application of His blood in order to be released from the condemnation of the transgressions that you have committed. Released! Set free! Can you be set free? You can be set free today. Right? You can be set free from the condemnation. Why wouldn't you want to be saved? Huh? Why wouldn't you want to know that you're on your way to heaven? Not just think so, hope so, maybe so, but can know that you're on your way to heaven. I tell you, one of the reasons that a lot of people don't make a move toward the Lord is because the devil, listen to me, he's here. Amen? Your own depravity, the world, all these things, they're pulling at you. They're keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus. I remember that, don't you? Your own flesh will start to war against you when your spirit starts moving toward the Lord. It'll rebel. It'll say, no, not today. You'll never know the Lord Jesus Christ until there's a break inside of you with the flesh. You got to break away from the flesh and move to the Lord. And He'll save you today. Stand to your feet. Right now, no condemnation to those that are you in Christ? Are you in the Lord? Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you come today? Make your calling and election sure. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience that transition that occurs where your sins are laid upon Him and His righteousness is laid to your account. And therefore being justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace with God. Paul says in this 8th chapter, we have not only peace, but we have life. Life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you life everlasting if you'll come to Him. Do you believe there's life everlasting in Jesus? Let's sing. Is there somebody here this morning? You've never been saved by the grace of God. You've never put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is whispering in your ear, come, 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 come to Jesus. Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, if there's never been a time, it's a restful place to be in the Lord. A spiritual rest, His spiritual peace. Listen, you'll know when you're placed in Christ. I didn't get to this. Oh, what a wonderful experience it is to be in Christ. You enter into God's rest. I mean, there's peace, there's joy, there's love, there's mercy, there's grace, there's blessing, there's life. I mean, right now you're dead. Outside of Christ, you're dead. But man, when you get in Jesus, you're alive. Alive, alive, alive. Let's sing. Somebody come. Today.